In the 4th century AD, the deserts of Egypt, Palestine, Arabia, and Persia were peopled by a race of men who left behind them a strange reputation. They were the first Christian hermits who abandoned the cities of the pagan world to live in solitude.
Why did they do this? The reasons were many and various. But they can all be summed up in one word, as the quest for salvation.
And what was salvation? Certainly it was not something they sought in mere exterior conformity to the customs and dictates of any social group. In those days, men had become keenly conscious of the strictly individual character of salvation.
Society, which meant pagan society, limited by the horizons of life in this world, was regarded by them as a shipwreck from which each single individual man had to swim for his life.
The fathers were humble and silent men, and did not have much to say. They replied to questions in few words, to the point. Rather than give an abstract principle, they preferred to tell a concrete story. Their brevity is refreshing and rich in content.
These words of the fathers are never theoretical in our modern sense of the word. They are never abstract. They deal with concrete things and with jobs to be done in the everyday life of a 4th century monk. But what is said serves just as well for a 20th century thinker. The basic realities of the interior life are there: faith, humility, charity, meekness, discretion, self-denial. But not the least of the qualities of the words of salvation is their common sense.
There was a certain brother who was praised by all the others in the presence of Abbot Anthony. But when the elder tested him, he found that he could not bear to be insulted. Then Abbot Anthony said, "You, brother, are like a house with a big, strong gate that is freely entered by robbers through all the windows."
Yet another elder said, "If you see a young monk, by his own will, climbing up into heaven, take him by the foot, and throw him to the ground, because what he is doing is not good for him.
Abbot Pastor said, if you have a chest full of clothing and leave it for a long time, the clothing will rot inside it. It is the same with the thoughts in our heart. If we do not carry them out by physical action, after a long while, they will spoil and turn bad.
To Abbot Pastor and said, many distracting thoughts come into my mind, and I am in danger because of them.
Then the elder thrust him out into the open air and said, open up the garments about your chest and catch the wind in them.
But he replied, this I cannot do.
So the elder said to him, if you cannot catch the wind, neither can you prevent distracting thoughts from coming into your head. Your job is to say no to them. Abbot Amonas said, one man carries an axe all his life and never cuts down a tree. Another, who knows how to cut, gives a few swings and the tree is down. The axe, he said, is discretion.
To Abbot Joseph and said, Father, according as I am able, I keep my little rule and my little fast. My prayer, meditation, and contemplative silence. And according as I am able, I strive to cleanse my heart of thoughts. Now what more should I do?
The elder rose up in reply, and stretched out his hands to heaven, and his fingers became like 10 lamps of fire. He said, why not be totally changed into fire? stretched out his hands to heaven, and his fingers became like 10 lamps of fire. Pastor said, "Do not dwell in a place where you see that others are envious of you, for you will not grow there." There were two elders living together in a cell, and they had never had so much as one quarrel with one another. One therefore said to the other, "Come on, let us have at least one quarrel, like other men."
The other said, "I don't know how to start a quarrel."
The first said, "I will take this brick and place it here between us. Then I will say, 'It is mine.' After that, you will say, 'It is mine.' This is what leads to a dispute and a fight."
So then they placed the brick between them.
One said, "It is mine."
And the other replied to the first, "I do believe that is mine."
The first one said again, "It is not yours, it is mine."
So the other answered, "Well then, if it is yours, take it."
Thus, they did not manage after all to get into a quarrel. Abbot John said, "A monk must be like a man who, sitting under a tree, looks up and perceives all kinds of snakes and wild beasts running at him. Since he cannot fight them all, he runs in order to get away from them. The monk, at all times, should do the same. When evil thoughts are aroused by the enemy, he should fly, by prayer, to the Lord, and he will be saved."
Abbot Moses said, "A man who lives apart from other men is like a ripe grape, and a man who lives in the company of others is a sour grape."
Once Abbot Macarius was traveling down from Skeet to a place called Terranuthen, and he spent the night in a pyramid where the bodies of the pagans had been laid to rest years before. And he dragged out one of the mummies and put it under his head for a pillow.
The devils, seeing his boldness, flew into a rage and decided to scare him. And they began to call out from the other bodies as if calling to a woman, "Lady, come with us to the baths." And another demon, as if he were the ghost of a woman, cried out from the body the elder was using as a pillow, "This stranger is holding me down, and I can't come."
But the elder, far from being frightened, began to pummel the corpse, saying, "Get up and go swimming if you are able."
Hearing this, the demons cried, "You win!" And they fled in confusion.
Light work that takes a long time to finish than a hard job that is quickly done.
Do not dwell in a famous place, and do not become the disciple of a man with a great name, and do not lay any foundation when you build yourself a cell.
Either fly as far as you can from men, or else, laughing at the world and the men who are in it, make yourself a fool in many things.
The monk should be all eye, like the cherubim and seraphim.
Get away from any man who always argues every time he talks.
A man must breathe humility and the fear of God just as ceaselessly as he inhales and exhales the air.
Humility is the land where God wants us to go and offer sacrifice. Thank you. They used to say of Abbot Sisowicz that unless he quickly lowered his hands and ceased from praying, his mind would be carried away into heaven.
And whenever he happened to pray with another brother, he made haste to lower his hands, lest his mind be carried away and he remain in another world.
It would perhaps be too much to say that the world needs another movement, such as that which drew these men into the deserts of Egypt and Palestine. Ours is certainly a time for solitaries and for hermits, but merely to reproduce the simplicity, austerity, and prayer of these primitive souls is not a complete or satisfactory answer.
We must transcend them and transcend all those who, since their time, have gone beyond the limits which they set. We must liberate ourselves in our own way from involvement in a world that is plunging to disaster.
But our world is different from theirs. Our involvement in it is more complete. Our danger is far more desperate. Our time, perhaps, is shorter than we think.
We must be ruthless in our determination to find our true selves, to discover and develop our inalienable spiritual liberty, and use it to build on earth the kingdom of God.